When you figure out what I do, would you explain it to my wife? Because she does not understand. And there are days where I don't either. It's a privilege to be back with you again, and I appreciate the opportunity. I want to say thank you, Living Hope, to the care and concern that you are showing for your pastor. These 4 months that he has for sabbatical are so critical and so important. There is, as Ecclesiastes says, a time and place and season for everything. And as we know, Scripture does teach about the idea of rest and Sabbath and a time for disconnecting and renewing. That's important for him. So thank you for being a congregation that that cares for him. And also, I want to thank you for starting his sabbatical by sending him to Israel. That was kind and generous of you. I had the privilege of being there on that trip with him for the 10 days. I will tell you, the combination of him taking that time to experience the geography and the sights and the smells and the sounds and the politics and the religious diversity, he is going to come back enriched. He is going to come back with more depth in his mind, his heart, and his teaching. So it will benefit you as well. Thank you for doing that. It says in your bulletin that the title of today's message is Supernatural Empowering. But that's not what it says up there. It says Living Hope. Because I changed it like yesterday. as David said in his prayer, I know it's been a difficult week for you as a community of believers. I know that you said goodbye to Pat Gambrell this week, and I know many of you were there at the service because I talked with her daughter Deb just briefly yesterday, and she said that many of you were there. And then, of course, Sharon's sickness and impending going home, as we just sang about as well. I've been coming here for 20 years, and I'm just so used to Sharon being right there. And of course, that's a change as well. So I know this is a tender time for you as a community of believers. So open our Father's Word, if you would, this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I thought it appropriate to change where we would be in the Word this morning to just look at some of the emotions that you're experiencing. Why and how do you handle that? And what is this all about? Because I know many of you have been contemplative this past week. How many of you here enjoy tent camping? Raise your hands. Quite a few of you. Okay. How many of you enjoy it for 3 days? 5 days? 2 weeks? The hands are going down here. While I was in Israel with your pastor, we went past some areas where there are what are called Bedouins. And the Bedouins, they tent camp all of the time. They have, you know, lean-to structures, and they're on government land. And I mean, tent camping is fun for a while, but after a while, it kind of loses its... you want to come home, don't you? I mean, that's kind of this life, too. Who wants to live forever on this earth in the way that we're living now? It has its challenges, doesn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "We know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, which is eternal in the heavens." We just sang about that. We just sang about that, the comparison of this life compared to going home, the idea that we're kind of tent camping in this life, aren't we? The people who want to live forever in this life are the people who don't have hope. They are the people who don't understand that this is just like tent camping. Verse 2 says, indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. I love how Scripture is just so descriptive. I mean, how many of you would walk out into the street, this is rhetorical, out into the street naked? Don't raise your hand if you're going to. I mean, we just don't do that. Well, that's what he is, as Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, comparing this life to. It's kind of like we're unclothed. There's something incomplete. He goes on to say, indeed, while we are in this tent, and the idea is this is temporal. This isn't forever. This is like camping. We groan, being burdened, because we don't want to be unclothed, but we want to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. It would be great if in this life we didn't have pain, and we didn't have sickness, and we didn't have to face the things that you as a community of believers are facing this week and next. And that was God's original idea in his original creation. But as we all know, his original creation had some flaws because we as Homo sapiens made the choice to rebel against him and to separate in our relationship with him. And so we didn't get it right. How many of you have a spouse that doesn't get things right? Don't raise your hands. And you keep reminding them of their pesky little habits. Stop tapping your spouse on the shoulder. I saw some of you doing that just now, you know. And we keep reminding them. And they keep doing it, right? Well, that's kind of us in our relationship with God. We're in an imperfect world. And so we are brought down. We are discouraged by illnesses and by sickness. And that imperfection in us reminds us of our mortality, that we aren't immortal, and that we do need something beyond this brokenness, this imperfection, this separation that we have from God. Those without eternal hope, they're doing all that they can to stay alive forever. I don't know if you know the statistics or not, but over $12 billion is spent every year on skincare alone in America. Why is that? Well, we're trying to stay younger, right? We don't want to look older. And over $30 billion is the number that describes the health and fitness industry in America. So, who wants to live in this life forever? Well, only those who don't have the hope of going home. So secondly, this morning, let's look at why do we grieve? Why do we hurt when we are facing impending death of those that we love, or the sickness or the illness that's around us? Well, I think a couple of reasons. And the first is because we're created, the Latin term is Imago Dei. We're created in the image of God. And part of that means that by nature, we are relational. In other words, there's something that goes beyond just life itself. We care about others. That's part of God's image. He is a loving, caring, interactive God. Well, that's part of who we are. We're not just interested in ourselves. We need one another. We are relational by nature. Those in relationship with God want something more. Look at verse 5. He who prepared us for this very purpose, that is heaven, is God. And he gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, we should always be of good courage, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Which leads to the second reason that we hurt, that we grieve, that we go through some of this discouragement when we're facing sickness and illness and even death. The second reason is it reminds us of our mortality, that while we're at home in this body, we're not complete. We're not totally fulfilled. We realize that there's something more. Camping is fun for the first few days, right? But the longer you're out there on the campsite, and some of them are doing it right now, you know who's missing this morning. It was announced as we opened the service, well, thank you for not doing that and being here, but some are out in the dirt. Trust me, they'll be back next week. Why? Well, because the longer we're in that tent and in the dirt, the more inconvenient it seems to be. And the longer you've been in this life, walking this earth, the more you realize, yeah, this is okay, but there's got to be something more. It says, he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, and he gave us his Spirit as a pledge. In other words, he's promised us, as we sang in that last song, this isn't home. We're looking forward to home. So when we lose somebody to death, yeah, there's grief. It reminds us of our mortality. Or when our life goes off the rails because of sickness, illness, it says we should be of good courage. Be of good courage. Because we know that if we get comfortable in this tent, in this temporal state, well, we realize we're not at home with the Lord. Earlier in this same letter, as Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, back in chapter 4, he talks about this temporal versus the eternal. Look at chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says, we don't lose heart, even though our outer man is decaying. Now, I don't know how many of you just look in the mirror and go, hey, look at that. I just aged. Wow. I'm not going to lose heart. I'm going to glory in that. How many of you even have mirrors at home? How many of you have? Okay, none of you have mirrors? Really? Well, I stayed in a hotel last night, and when I woke up this morning, and I looked, they have mirrors in hotels, by the way. You ought to check it out, those of you who don't have mirrors. It's just weird that you don't have mirrors. I looked in the mirror, and I wasn't able to see myself because some old bald guy jumped up in front of me, you know. I looked at that, and I went, that can't be right. That's not what I look like. Do we really take glory in that? Well, we do if we realize that our outer man is decaying. Yeah, that's part of the process. But, he says in chapter 4, verse 16, our inner man is being renewed day by day. So let me ask you, as you're grieving about the loss of one of your family members this past couple of weeks, or you're grieving about Sharon, are you really being renewed day by day? If you're not, you're going to be overcome with grief. So how are we renewed day by day? Well, I think the sickness, the illness, the imperfection, the living in the tent, the temporary state is to remind us to get back to the disciplines. You see, the more we spend time in prayer, the more we spend time pilgrimaging with the Lord, the more we spend time in the Word, the more we will be renewed day by day, and we'll realize, wait a minute, this isn't what it is all about. He goes on in verse 17 to say, momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Well, what's light affliction? I mean, I know as a man, when I get a cold, I'm thinking, this is not light affliction. You know, this is like the worst thing ever. But being in the hospital, what's light affliction? You get the flu, you think I mean, every time we get sick, every time we get ill, we go, oh, this is horrible, right? But compare it to something that's even worse. Light affliction is relative. So let me share with you a healthy perspective. How do we hurt and grieve when you as a community of believers is facing some of the challenges that David was praying about earlier this morning? 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look at the things which are seen, or not at the things that are seen, we don't look at the things that are seen, but rather at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, sickness, death, challenges in this life, number one, they remind us of our broken relationship with God. They remind us of our temporality, the fact that we aren't eternal, that we're not immortal, but that this is a tent that we are in. And second, it should challenge us and drive us back to focusing more on our relationship with Christ. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:7, jumping back to chapter 5, it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's the subtitle that's on all of these slides that you've been looking at this morning. The idea is it's to drive us back to, it's to remind us, no, let's not focus on how healthy or unhealthy we are, how rich or how poor we are, how good things are going or how bad things are going. In fact, I think the challenge for us as Americans is we live in a culture and a time of the greatest wealth and health ever in the time of history. And I think Americans just get so focused on that. They realize, wow, life is better than it's ever been in all of history. So we get focused on the wrong thing. And when we do that, when we get focused on the temporal, and we let that be our joy and our fulfillment, sets us up for disappointment, sets us up for hurt, sets us up for deeper grieving. The more we understand scientifically and the better off we are, I think the worse off we are spiritually. And so when we come to the challenges of a week like this, it should drive us more back to, wait a minute, my hope isn't in my health. My hope isn't in my wealth. My hope isn't in my possessions. My hope is in the Lord. It should drive us back to, I need to get back into Scripture. I need to get back to praying through the Psalms. I need to get back to focusing on the deeper values. I need to get back to Shabbat. I didn't just swear there. Those of you that don't know what Shabbat is, that is the Sabbathing. That's what your pastor is doing right now. He's taking an extended Shabbat. One of the things that we are doing in the district this year, we do two conferences a year. I assume that your pastor announces these to you. We've got one this fall, September, I think it's 26th. And the whole focus is going to be on the theology of rest. And the reason we're doing this for pastors, it's for anybody who wants to come, lay leaders, anybody who wants to come. And the reason we're doing this is in our Healthy Church Networks, we have 10 of those in the district every month. I've been going around and I've been asking the pastors, what is your theology of rest? Well, they can tell me theologically what Scripture says. But then I say, how do you practice it? And the room gets really quiet. We don't have time in our schedules, do we? For doing Sabbathing, for doing resting. And it's because of that, I think that, well, I think the grieving and the hurting is deeper because we're not as close to the Lord. That there's a reason that He has instructed us in Scripture as to what rest and worship and focus on Him should be. I think the Orthodox Jews have it wrong on so many levels. But one thing that they have right is they practice a 24-hour period every week of withdrawing from culture, withdrawing from work, withdrawing from everything except God. Third, I think we should look forward to death. Look at chapter 5, verse 8. We have good courage, he says, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and be at home with the Lord. So let me ask you, how many of you want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. How many of you want to join the group that's going this afternoon? Not as many, right? We all like the idea of heaven. We don't like the idea of the process of getting there. There's a reason and purpose, however, for us to stay camping, to stay in this tent until the Lord tells us to break camp. And Paul speaks to that in verse 9. We have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing Him. And so here he's talking about whether at home, eternity, or absent from the Lord, this temporal state that we're in. The whole idea is we please the Lord while we're here. As long as He has us here, it's His choice. And then we also look forward to pleasing Him when we're in His presence. And by the way, this isn't just an idea that Paul came up with and he wrote to the church in Corinth. This really was a value that he held. He writes it not just to the church in Corinth, he writes it also to the church in Philippi. This is how he says it in Philippians 1, 21 to 24. Paul says, and this is a familiar voice to, or verse to most of you, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." See, he saw value in both. He says, if I am to live in the flesh, in other words, stay in this temporal state, well, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, I cannot tell which to choose. I'm hard-pressed, he says, between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So, again, why do we grieve? Why do we hurt? Those of you who are close to Pat or to Sharon, or to others who are close to death? Well, because we have a heart, because we have a soul, because we are created in the image of God. But the hurting and the grieving is a good thing, not a bad thing. Because in that, it reminds us of our mortality. It reminds us, hey, we're out on the campground, we're in the tent, and we're looking forward to going home. One of the things that I think we've lost this perspective in the American church is because of the way we worship. In the early 20th century and the late 19th century, if you go back and look a lot of the worship music, a lot of it is focused on eternity. It's focused on going home and being with the Lord. That died out in the last part of the 20th century. In fact, the last part of the 20th century, it's hard to find worship music that talks, that focuses about not just this life, but the eternal life. We don't sing about that much anymore. Until I come to a church like Living Hope. Did you catch this morning? We sang two songs. We worshiped These Are the Days of Elijah and Home. Those are appropriate for us to sing, not just in weeks like this past one, but all of the time. It helps us to keep our compass focused. Our compass, that was a mixed metaphor. Compasses don't focus. Anyway, you know what I'm saying here. It drives us closer to Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says this: encourage one another. Build up each other. And I would add to that, this week, this coming week, this coming couple of weeks, focus personally on this glorious hope that we have. The fact that, yes, this is temporal, that we are mortal. But if you're in Christ, if you've got a relationship with God the Father through Christ the Son, this is not the end. There is more. Pat and Sharon, they're just beating us there. So for them, it's glory. And for us, it's a reminder. Heavenly Father, thank you that communities of believers such as Living Hope can experience weeks such as this one that has just passed and the one that is coming ahead. We understand sickness, death, they are the enemy. They are a reminder to us of our mortality. But that reminder is one that you use to draw us back closer to you. I pray for this congregation, this community of believers, these people who call themselves Living Hope. And I ask that this week will be one of encouragement because of the reminder of who we are, not just in this life, but in the one to come. And so let us give you praise, whether we remain on in the present or we stand with you face to face, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Will you please stand? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love, communion, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Lord God be with you all today and through this week. Amen.